Let me invite you, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Luke. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 is where we will be this morning. And I believe that's an appropriate hymn for us to sing on this final Sunday of 2023. I am resolved, no doubt, that with the new year coming, many of us will have goals and resolutions and plans and programs and different sorts of things that we want to see accomplished in the new year. And you know, with every new year, even though, again, as I said earlier, it's really just technically the passing of one calendar page to the other. But with it, it does come that sense of freshness. It does come that sense of renewal. It does bring about that opportunity of a second chance, if you were. Because, again, as we said, if we look back on the year previous, there are certainly areas that we came up short in, that we would certainly like that do-over in. And, you know, I think sometimes there are some days we overlook the fact that we serve a God that gives us opportunities for new beginnings. You know, really, our God is all about new beginnings. He's all about second chances. And you think about it, in essence, that's what salvation is. It's a second chance. It's a new beginning. It's a new birth into a new life. It's a new beginning, spiritually speaking. When we join a church, we get a new spiritual home and family. And even when we stumble in our Christian lives, and listen, there's not one of us here this morning that we do not stumble in our Christian life somewhere along the way. Nobody is ever 100% of the time all that they can be or should be for the Lord. But even when we do have those stumbles, God in His mercy and His love gives us an opportunity to get up and begin again. He gives us that second chance. He gives us that new beginning. And, you know, we should be glad that when we fail, that is not the end. But there's a new beginning waiting. There's a new opportunity waiting. There's a second chance waiting. I believe it's the psalmist who says, how many times does a man fall? 70 times 70, and he rises up again. You know, as long as you have that opportunity that you can rise up again, there's always that opportunity for that new beginning. There's always that opportunity for that new and second chance. You know, you think about it, the sun goes down on one day, but who was it that used to sing it? Little Annie, the sun will come out tomorrow. So yes, while the sun might go down on one day, the sun is going to come up on the next day. It's going to be a new day. We think about our years. One year comes to a close, but another year begins. It's a new opportunity for us, and that's what a new year brings. A new year is an opportunity for a new start. It's an opportunity for a new beginning. Take the year past. That's exactly what it is. It's in the past. You can't change it. And so there's no point in looking back on it and dwelling upon it and fretting upon it and regretting the decisions made. No, now you can look ahead, that tomorrow is a new day, a new year, a new opportunity, a second chance to be that which God would have us to be. And you know, when we approach a new year, you know, we may or may not jot down some New Year's resolutions, but we often think about things that we want to accomplish in the new year. Now, the truth of the matter is this morning, none of us know what is coming as the new year begins. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. We know that from Scripture. And for some, the new year may bring change. The new year may bring difficult news, even as the old year for some have already done. But regardless of what unfolds, I believe this morning God is gracious and God is long-suffering toward people and encourages us to repentance. He encourages us as His people to bear fruit for Him while we still have the time. And as we embark on a new year, that's what we have to do. We have to seek to put the past year behind us and keep our eyes, our heart, and our mind focused on the Savior, focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. You found your place there, Luke chapter 13, and I would invite you to notice there with me, if you would, verses 6 through 9. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. The Bible says this: He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I want you to notice that phrase there, verse number 8, where it says, let it alone this year also. Let it alone this year also. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach us on this thought: spared another year. Spared another year. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian you have us to be. Father, may we realize that we have new opportunities awaiting us, second chances awaiting us to be that which you'd have us to be. Lord, this year, 2024, may we seek to be fruit-bearing Christians for your honor, your glory. Father, if there be sin in our lives, may we seek to repent of that sin and keep short sin accounts. Father, now I pray this morning you fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And Father, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, what better day than to get their salvation settled than on the precipice of a new beginning? Father, may they have their new beginning in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. Now, Father, we pray you would just speak to hearts, speak to each one that is here. And Father, if there are those that maybe this year was tough, maybe you help give them that encouragement that a new year, a new day, new opportunities, second chances are coming, and help us keep our eyes and our focus on you. And Father, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you and need you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so this morning we find ourselves here in the Gospel of Luke, and as the title of the book implies, it was written by the physician Luke. No doubt Luke was the companion of the Apostle Paul. We see that in several places in the book of Acts, which Luke also wrote. He may have been the Lucius mentioned in Romans chapter 16, and he was evidently a Hellenistic Jew from Antioch or there in about that vicinity. And the name Luke, certainly as you look at it, it's not Jewish, but a reading of his writing clearly indicates he is of Jewish heritage. He was also a physician. by training. That was his trade. That was what he was trained to do. That was his career, as noted by Paul in Colossians chapter 4. And his gospel was written, this book of Luke, was written perhaps in the mid-60s. And there's some traditional indication that it was written in Alexandria, Egypt. However, if that be the case, it likely was done after Paul's death, after Luke's departure from him. It's also been suggested that the Gospel of Luke is of the human divine one in its distinction of to John's later gospel, which was of the divine human one. One of the key phrases you find here in the book of Luke is that of the Son of Man. And that's the theme of the book of Luke. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, which appears 26 times. And it's presenting the human side of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's presenting the human side of his ministry. And Luke, he traces the lineage of Jesus all the way back to Adam, giving a detailed account of his mother, his infancy, his boyhood, and presenting the humanity of Jesus, Luke is careful to recognize the deity of Christ. The key verse, no doubt, is Luke chapter 19. Look there if you would. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man." Or let's look at verse number 9. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man," there's that phrase, "the Son of Man, is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And that's why our Savior came. That's why we celebrated Christmas last week and his birth in the manger. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And here this morning we find ourselves in Luke chapter 13. And the time given here in Luke 13, it's not specific, but clearly we find Jesus is in the last year of his ministry. He is headed towards Calvary. He's headed to the cross. He's headed for his crucifixion, for his death. And chapter 13 here, as we saw there in verse number 6, it says, "He spake also this parable." He spoke a number of parables here in Luke chapter 13, particularly relating to the long-promised Jewish kingdom. And we find that there is prophecy both of God's judgment on Israel of that generation, as well as looking forward to the day of the Lord. Now there in verse number 6, he says, "He spake also this parable." You say, what is a parable? A parable is just very simply an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The Lord Jesus Christ was using a simple down-to-earth story to get across a heavenly meaning, to get across a heavenly truth to those who were listening and to those who were reading. And so we see here, this is the parable he speaks. Verse 6, "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none." So now, according to Leviticus, fruit from newly planted trees was not eaten the first 3 years. It wasn't until the 4th year that the crops belonged to the Lord. So a farmer, he would not get any figs until that 5th year. But this man had now been waiting for 7 years. So no wonder he wanted to cut down this tree because it was fruitless. It wasn't doing its job. It wasn't producing. And so he said, well, let's just cut it down. Notice, if you would, Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, and notice, if you would, verses 23 through 25. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 23 through 25. And the Bible says this, "And when ye shall come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of, but in the fourth year all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord withal. And in the fifth year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God." And so here in Luke chapter 13, we find now that it has been 7 years. It has been that initial 3 years. The fourth year, the fruit belonged to the Lord. And now you notice there, he says, "Behold these 3 years, 5, 6, and 7. So now at this point in Luke chapter 13, this tree has been standing for 7 years and it is fruitless. And the owner informs the vine dresser how he had for 3 years, he'd come back to the tree, he had sought fruit, from the fig tree and found none. And so, since he has found no fruit, he directs his employee to cut it down. And as the parable concludes, the vine dresser interceded, you notice there, verse number 8, "And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." And so the vine dresser, he intercedes for this tree with the owner. And he asks the owner, give it just a little bit more time. He says, give it through this year. And so the vine dresser, the keeper of the vineyard, he would come, he would loosen the soil around it, he would fertilize it, and he says, well, if it bore fruit, then great. If it didn't bear fruit, then we can cut it down. Some here have likened the three-year period as reenacting the ministry of our Lord to the Jews, because you remember, they, for the most part, bore no fruit toward the Lord. But implied by way of allegory, maybe the conversation between the father and the son concerning the unbelief of Israel. Now, if that were the case, Jesus interceded with the Father to give them just a little more time. Now, Luke 13, go back up to verse number 1. Verse number 1. So we have the parable of the fig tree, verses 6 through 9. Notice verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Of those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Verse 5, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And so, in verses 6 through 9, we have this parable of the barren fig tree. Now, when you take those verses, verses 6 through 9, in conjunction with those previous 5 verses, with the warning of repentance, the greater truth would seem to reveal to be, unless Israel repented and bore fruit, then it faced imminent judgment. Judgment was going to come if Israel did not turn from her sins and start to bear fruit for her Lord. And they would do just that in AD 70. So this parable, remember, this earthly story with a heavenly truth has both an application to the nation of Israel, but it also has an application to us as individuals this morning. And it's this: God is gracious and long-suffering. I mean, He is perhaps the most gracious and long-suffering being to ever be known. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He does more than enough to encourage us to repent and bear fruit. Matthew 3, verses 7 through 10. But when He saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to His baptism, He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And so you think about it this morning. God had every right, just as this owner of this tree had every right, to cast us down. But in His mercy, He spared us. In His mercy, He gave us, for lack of a better phrase, He gave us another year. Now, we must not presume upon the kindness and long-suffering of the Lord, because someday, judgment day, will come. And where will we be in that judgment day? You think about it this morning. God waited 3 years during our Lord's earthly ministry, but the nation did not produce fruit. He would then wait 40 more years before He allowed the Roman armies to destroy Jerusalem and the temple. And during those years, the church gave to the nation a powerful witness of the gospel message. But then, it was only then, the tree was cut down. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant, and he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. You don't have to turn there, just listen. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers, and of whom are, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Now you notice there, back in Luke chapter 13, and you notice how the parable ends. Verse number 9. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shall cut it down. The parable closes, but it does so very open-ended, so that the listeners had to supply the conclusion. If you remember our study of the book of Jonah last year, the book of Jonah ended in much the same way. Did the tree bear fruit? It doesn't say. Did the special care accomplish anything? It doesn't say. Was the tree spared or cut down? Again, it doesn't say. We have no way to know the answers to these questions. But we can answer as far as our own lives are concerned. And so this morning, the question is not and ought not to be what happened to the tree, but what will happen to me? And that's the question this morning that I want us to ask ourselves as a church this year. Again, tomorrow, 2024, a brand new year, should the Lord tarry in His coming. And Lord, if we get through all of 2024, then that means the Lord has given us and will have given you another year of service to Him. How was your service for Him this year? Did we serve Him as well as we possibly could? Did we bear fruit for Him? Did we repent of all known open sin, keeping short sin accounts? Or is the Lord maybe coming to us and looking at us and year after year and seeking fruit and finding none? If He were to come back today, would He want to cut us down? Or would He be pleased with our service? You see, folks, this morning, again, we can't change what happened in the year previous. We can't. If we took the time and went around, we'd all have times and accounts where we should have done something for Him, where we could have done something for Him, and for whatever the case, or whatever the reason, we just fell a little bit short. Well, folks, in His love, His mercy, His grace, His graciousness, again, should He tarry, we'll have been spared another year. What are we going to do with that year? It doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young you are. God is seeking fruit, and He will accept no substitutes. This year in 2024, turn if you would, Hebrews. Because here's how we'll be able to bear fruit this morning in this coming year. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Listen, everybody today, they're in such a hurry. And they all wind up at the same place. You ever driving down the road, down the highway, somebody passes you, and then you both wind up at the same red light? What causes somebody to do that? They have no patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And why? Verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You say, how do we bear fruit for Jesus in 2024? Simple. Look on to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him this year. It's so easy. Listen, we all remember the account of Peter, don't we? When Jesus told him, "Step out of the boat and come towards me," Peter was okay. As long as he did what? Keep his eyes on Jesus. The moment he took his eyes off Jesus, he plops into the water. And folks, listen this morning. The moment you take your eyes off Jesus, you're going to plop into that water, spiritually speaking. And so this year, let's look to Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on Him. Let's bear fruit for Him. Let's be busy reading our Bibles, praying every day, telling others about Jesus, inviting people to church, getting involved in church, getting involved in the programs and the ministries, and seeing souls saved and lives changed this year. Again, should he tarry? We're being given another year. What are we going to do with it? And listen, I believe that his return is closer this year than it was last year. And when we get the next year, it'll be closer even still. What are we going to do with the time he's left us with? I pray we'll bear fruit for him this year. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.